Last time we started discussing some of the more lemaisa aspects of the Lamatas Malachas. I'd like to continue today by talking about the Malachas of Kotzer and Dosh. What is Kotzer? So the Mefarshim explained that the basic definition of Kotzer is uprooting or severing any living plant from its source of nourishment, what we call Oker Dover Migidula, cutting off something from its source of nourishment. We mentioned in the Gemara Shirim that from the Lashon of the Gemara Dafai and Gemara Lebeis, there are some Rishonim that want to derive that perhaps there's more to that definition of Kotzer. That the Gemara Zomrach Le'etzim is Chayev Mishum Kotzer. The question is, why do you have to be Tzorach Le'etzim to be Chayev? So some say that you can't see anything from that Gemara. What it means is that Rib Shimon holds Malacha Shein Atzich Al-Aguf is Potter. If you do a Malacha not for the purpose that it was done in the Mishkan, and not for the use that it was done in the Mishkan, you potter, it's potter avalos, it's only an issid rabbanu. But some want to say that it has to be tzarech le'etzim to be chayev, because this Gemara is going aliba the Reb Shimon, the Melacha Shein Tzich L'guf is potter. So you can't really derive anything about the nature of kotzer from that Gemara. As we know, Tosis on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis disagrees. He says that even Reb Yehuda, who claims Melacha Shein Tzich L'guf chayev, even he would say that you need tzarech le'etzim to be chayev for kotzer. Why? But presumably, Tosis understands that kotzer is defined not just as okadav and megidulo, but rather that you have to be harvesting, that you're cutting something off of its source of nourishment to use the davar hanikta. So if you don't have intention to use the item that you're cutting, that's not called kotzer in the Torah. It's not the malacha derais of kotzer. It's still an issa derabban in the stomach, but it's not the malacha derais of kotzer. Okay. Now, kotzer, the av malacha of kotzer is if you cut something off from its source of nourishment, the kli, with the utensil, with a scissor, with a saw, with something, with a cleat. But tolesh is a tolda of kotzer. Tolesh is biyad. I think the more common circumstance that we're looking at is tolesh biyad, not kotzer bikli. But that's the difference between the av malacha and the tolda. The kotzer is bikli, you're cutting off the item, you're okadav and megidula bikli, and tolesha is biyad. Now, it's not too common for people to be cutting off things on Shabbos. We don't just walk around and cut off the leaves or cut off the branches on Shabbos. But it is pretty common to walk on plants. That could happen. That's a pretty common occurrence. And that's discussed by the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shin Lamed Vav Siv Gimel writes that one is allowed to walk on grass on Shabbos. You can walk on plants. Since you have no kavanah to be tolish them, your only kavanah is to walk, to cover a distance. It's not a psigresha that the grass is going to be detached from the ground by walking on it. So it's mutter. Reb Shimon holds Dovah Shin Viskavan. It's mutter. We pass in like that, so therefore it's mutter to walk on the grass, mutter to walk on the plants. But if the plants have dried up, if they're brittle, they've dried up, so then the Shulchan Aruch says that one is not allowed to walk on those plants. Because then by walking on the plants, you're definitely going to detach them. Now, it's not clear if the plants are already dried up, they're not really being nourished by the ground. It's not clear that it's a malacha d'oraisa that we're talking about. The Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha has a machlokas rishonim. He actually quotes that the Rambam holds that it's still an issa d'oraisa to walk on plants, even if they're brittle, even if there's no lachos, there's no moisture in the plants. You're not really uprooting them from a source of nourishment. They're not being nourished at all at this point. If they're completely dried out, what kind of nourishment are they having? But the Rambam says that's part of the malacha d'oraisa, that if they're mechubel l'karka, then the malacha d'oraisa will still be violated then. Maybe the fundamental nature of the av malacha of kotzer is that we're breaking up something from the source of nourishment. But the Rambam extends and says, no, the av malacha applies, or a tolda might apply, I'm not sure if it's an av or a tolda, but there's some issa d'oraisa to cut off an item that's attached to the ground. It certainly started as being nourished from the ground, and apparently the Rambam, this is the way that the Mishnah Berurah understands him, the Rambam holds that it's an issa d'oraisa to cut off something that's still attached to the ground. Rashi and Tosis disagree, though. Rashi and Tosis claim that if the roots of the plant, the roots of the grass are dry, they're no longer moist, and they're not deriving any nourishment from the ground, so malacha d'oraisa it's not going to be. But it's still an issa d'rabbanan. Still an issa d'rabbanan. So either way you slice it, whether it's a malacha d'oraisa or it's an issa d'rabbanan, it's going to be usur to walk on these plants. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. You got to be careful. It's a psikresha that you're going to cut them off from the ground. As we pointed out, we paskin that a psikresha, even by an isad rabbanon, is awesome. Meaning, if you were mechaven for the mice, it would be an isad rabbanon. So then, even the psikresha, that's going to be awesome. So whether it's an isad rabbanon or it's still a malacha d'oraisa, it's still going to be awesome to do because we assume it's a psikresha. If the plants are brittle and you walk on them, then they're going to be detached. The leaves are going to be detached, or the whole plant is going to be detached from the ground. And that's still a problem. Even if it's not deriving any nourishment from the ground, that's still a problem. It might even be a melacha deraisa. According to the Rambam, it might be deraisa. But even according to the other Rishonim, it's still an issur derabanan, and a psik reisha by an issur derabanan, we paskin is going to be awesome. Okay, this is the basic melacha and the tolda of kotzer. Questions? The Chachamim added a number of gezeros to this melacha of kotzer. Meaning the Chachamim prohibited other activities as a gzera shema yitlush, that we're afraid that you might come to break off something from a tree, break off a plant, so Chazal prohibited other actions as well. The most classical example is what we call mishtamesh ve'ilan, using a tree. The Mishnah in Beitza, and Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, says, lo olin ve'ilan, one is not allowed to climb a tree on Yom Tov or on Shabbos. You can't climb a tree. The Gemara in Erevin, Daf Kuf, says you're not allowed to lean on a tree. And these halachas are paskin in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shin Lamed Vav Sif Aleph. Paskin is that one is not allowed to climb a tree, to lean on a tree, to sit on a tree, to use a tree, right? Any usage of the tree, the Shulchan Aruch says, is prohibited. Gzer Hashem Yitlosh Zemora. The Chachamim were afraid that if we allow you to use the tree, you come too close to the branches and you'll start to play with them. You might come to pull off a branch from the tree. And you won't realize, b'shogeg, you'll pull it off. But Chazal are afraid that Gzer Hashem Yitlosh, so therefore, they prohibited you from using the tree. The Shulchan Aruch there, in Simen Shin Lamed Vav Sif Yud Gimel, qualifies this din. Shulchan Aruch says that one is not allowed to use the tree, nor is one allowed to use what the Shulchan Aruch calls tzdadei ha'ilan, something that's connected to the tree. But tzidei tzdadin is mutin. That's the chilek that the Shulchan Aruch draws in Simen Shin Lamed Vav Sif Yud Gimel. That one is not allowed to be mishtamesh be'ilan, nor b'tzdadei ha'ilan, with the sides of the tree, so to speak, but b'tzidei tzdadin, the sides of the sides, that's permissible. What does that mean? What is tzdadei ha'ilan? What is tzdadei tzdadin? The chiluk is this. The poskim explain that tzdadei ha'ilan is anything that is leaning directly on the tree, like a peg or a ladder. If you lean the ladder directly on the tree, so that's called tzdadei ha'ilan. You're not using the tree. You're using the ladder that's not attached to the tree, but it's leaning on the tree. Or maybe it's attached to the tree. Right? So if you're only using the tzdadei ha'ilan, you would say, well, I'm not using the tree. What could be the problem? No, Chazal goes there even on tzdadei ha'ilan. But tzdadei tzdadin is something that is leaning on something that's leaning on the tree. And it's two steps removed. So let's say you'd have a peg, a nail, and the ladder is leaning on the nail, not leaning on the tree. That would be tzdadei ha'ilan. That's not tzdadei ha'ilan, but rather it's two steps removed. So based on this yesod, the poskim point out that one is not allowed to use a tree swing on Shabbos, or use a hammock if it's hanging directly from the tree. This is written up in the Shari Tshuva, there in Sikkot Aleph, in Simen Shin Lamed Vav. To use a tree swing or a hammock, some to hang from the tree on something that's directly leaning on the tree, that could be a problem. You might have like one of those tire swings, that the rope is around the tree itself, that's going to be a problem. To go up into your treehouse, I know you like to spend a lot of time there, but to go up into your treehouse, if it's leaning directly on the tree, that would be a problem on Shabbos. You have to find other times to play in the treehouse. Yes?
The tire swing, that's not study studying, because it's a rope tied to the tree, and then the tire is tied to that rope.
Uh-huh. But you're going to touch the rope. It's very hard to go on the tire swing without touching the rope. I guess if you can somehow arrange it that you know the rope is if the tire is being held up by some kind of metal apparatus and the rope is above it, so then that would be okay, right? But you know, if the tire is all around the string, I think just getting on the tire, you're going to be touching that rope. It's very hard to avoid. Yes.
How small does the step between the tree and the thing that you're doing?
Very small. You can have a couple of pegs that the ladder is leaning on. That's enough. As long as the ladder is not leaning directly on the tree, that's called studded stud, and it's not sidei ha'ilan. Nothing.
And if it's a hook that's drilled into the tree and then the rope's on the hook.
That's okay. That would be okay. Right, that would be okay. Yeah, so when we're not allowed to climb a ladder that's leaning on the tree, but if you lean the ladder on a peg that's connected to the tree, that would be okay. One would be allowed to use a basket that's hanging from a peg that's attached to the tree. But again, if the basket were hanging directly from the tree, that would be more of a problem. That would be tzidei ha'ilah, that would not be tzadei tzadin. So that's the chiluk. The chiluk is whether it's directly leaning on the tree or it's leaning or hanging on something else that's leaning on the tree. Yes?
If we use the case of leaning the ladder on the nail, what does that nail do that prevents you from leaning on the tree?
It doesn't matter. It's that when you climb the ladder, I mean, I'm not sure what you're going to be doing on this ladder, but like if you want to climb the ladder, not to get onto the tree, clearly, because you're not allowed to get onto the tree. But let's say it's time you're going to climb the ladder to get a better view of, something in the distance. Or you're climbing to, let's say there's a tree next to a swing set or something, and you're climbing the ladder that's hanging on the tree to get to the swing set or to help your child that's on the swing set. So that's mutter. You're not using the tree. You're using something that's studded of the trees. That's no problem because it's not leaning directly on the tree. Okay? There are more rights as well there in Simen Shin Lamed Vav. This is in Sif Aleph. That one is not allowed to take an object that's on the tree. Let's say a person leaves a jacket on the tree before Shabbos. He can't take that off the tree. Even if you left the item before Shabbos, you could say, well, if you put the item on Shabbos, you're not allowed to be mishtamish be'ilon, so chazal goes if you put the item on the tree, then you can't take it off. No. The Rama writes explicitly that even if you left it there from before Shabbos, you can't take it off from the tree. Now, why should that be us? You're not using the tree, you're just taking off the item from the tree. What could be the problem? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Ritva in Masechta Erevin. Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Yud Beis quotes the Ritva, who says that the reason is not because by taking it off the tree you'll be using the tree. No, you're not using the tree, just taking the thing off. But the chashash is that maybe by taking the item off the tree you might come to lean on the tree. And that's part of the Gzerah Drabonah, Gzerah Shema Yitlosh. So it's not that the taking off of the item is called usage. That's too far-fetched. But you might come to lean on the tree. That's part of the Gzerah Drabonah. What, you're going to tell me it's Gzerah L'Gzerah? No, it's Kulach HaGzerah. That's the whole point, that Chazal don't want you to lean on the tree. So this is like called leaning. Using the tree in this way, Chazal were afraid, apparently, that's how the Ritva understands, Chazal were afraid that you'll come to lean on the tree, and that's a problem with Gzerah Shema Yitlosh. The Mishnah Berurah says, he adds, that because of this Isser, one really should not leave Kalim on a tree from before Shabbos. Even Kalim that one is allowed to use on Shabbos, you shouldn't put on the tree, because you might come to take it off on Shabbos. Right? It's not a Gzerah L'Gzerah, but the point is you should avoid putting things on the tree. Even if you don't plan on taking it off on Shabbos, because you might come to change your mind, or someone will take it off on Shabbos, and that could be a problem, since the taking off of the kli from the tree on Shabbos is a problem, so one shouldn't even leave the kalim. Don't leave your things, don't leave a jacket or a ball or something like that in the tree, because then there's a concern that someone might take it out of the tree. They might want the item on Shabbos, they'll take it out of the tree on Shabbos, and that's an issur d'rabbanan, to take something off a tree on Shabbos, because it's an extension of this idea of mishtamish v'ilan. Hoodie.
If it's attached like a peg, would that be an issue? Let's say you have a hook or something on the tree.
If the item is attached to the peg, so then the item is only tzadei tzadin, so then there shouldn't be a problem. You'd be allowed to use something that's not attached directly to the tree, that's not touching the tree directly. So lechar, the same would be true, that if you have a basket that's hanging on a peg, you'd be allowed to take that off the tree on Shabbos, you'd be allowed to use it on Shabbos, and you'd be allowed to put that there before Shabbos. Because anything that you're allowed to do on Shabbos, you're allowed to do before Shabbos too, I think. Yes?
Is that saying that maybe you should take up a hammock off the tree and people may sit on it? Because it's the same idea as an object.
I hear. It's an interesting idea. It's a big pain in the neck to constantly tie it on. Maybe you should put a big sign on it saying, do not use on Shabbos. That'll be a gzeira. I mean, that'll be a warning to people not to use it on Shabbos. Maybe that's sufficient. Yes?
How does a small hook or small peg with that jacket's hanging off of alleviate our concerns that someone would lean on the tree to take it off?
I guess the idea is that once it's not on the tree, so then this whole gzerah was never said. If you're allowed to use the jacket, you could put something in the pocket of the jacket if it's only hanging on the peg that's attached to the tree, so why should it be usher to take the jacket off to begin with? So anything that's mutter to use, and we wouldn't call that mishtamish be'ilan, one is allowed to move from the tree also. I think that's mistabit. The Paskin point out that there is a difference in terms of using things that are attached to the ground between a tree and a tree stump. A dead tree stump, one is allowed to sit on. you're not going to cut off any branches from the dead tree. There are no branches coming out of the dead tree stem. So there's no problem. But you'll say that maybe osil chlufe, maybe you'll make the mistake of thinking that if you can sit on a dead tree stump, you could sit on a regular tree, you might come to take off the branch. So that's all, we're not going to go, because people are not going to be machlef, the ilan chai. They're not going to confuse a dead tree stump with a living tree. But the poskim do point out that one should not sit on a dead tree. Even a tree that's completely dried up, you should not sit on. Mishum siyog, because we're afraid that a person might sit on a living tree. Now you could say, well, maybe we're just afraid that you'll cut off a branch. I don't know if we're so concerned. Okay, maybe that's part of the gzera, that we're afraid you'll cut off the branch even from the dead tree. And we mentioned that there could be an issa to cut off even a dead branch. According to the Rambam, it might be an issa deraisa. So maybe it's enough of a gzera. You shouldn't sit on the dead tree, because you might come to the issa deraisa of cutting off the branches. But someone has suggested that even without that, it's a siog, that if we allow you to sit on a dried up tree, you might come to sit on a regular tree. And then the issur of gzer shemi yitlosh definitely would apply in that context. One is allowed to sit on the grass on Shabbos. We talked about walking on the grass. It's mutter to walk on the grass, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins and Siman Shin Lamed Vav Siv Gimel, because you're not mechavin to be tolish, to cut off the grass. It's not a psik reishen. So the same holds true. You're allowed to sit on the grass. You know, sometimes if it's nice outside, and if you're in camp, you want to sit on the grass. That's mutter. Even though it's growing from the ground, you could say it's mishtamish be'ila, mishtamish be something that's growing from the ground. Should that be a problem? No. The answer is asavim. Chazal didn't make a gzeira that you'll be tolesh asavim. We're not concerned that you're going to cut off grass. We're only concerned that you'll cut off a branch. Cut off a branch, cut off a leaf, or something like that. But they didn't make the gzeira that you'll cut off grass. Most people don't cut off the grass from the ground. So that's why Chazal permitted you to sit on the grass, even though they prohibited sitting on the tree. Okay. This is all under the rubric of Mishtamesh Be'ilan, using a tree. What is considered within Mishtamesh Be'ilan, what is not? There's another very interesting gzera that Rabbanan the Chazal added to this Malacha Deraisa of Kotzer. And that is smelling a fruit that's growing from the tree. Smelling something that's growing from the tree. The Halacha, the Shulchan Aruch, has in Siman Shin Lamed Vav Siv Yud that one is not allowed to smell a fruit, apple, esrog, a fruit that's growing from a tree. Anything that's roi l'achila, when it's mechubal la'eitz, one is not allowed to smell it. Why? Because we're afraid you might cut it off to eat it. But, says the Shulchan Aruch, one is allowed to smell a hadas, or any other item that grows that has a sweet smell, because we're not afraid that you're going to cut it off. So explains the Mishnah Berurah there in Sukkot Memchez, that the gzeira of Shema Yakot applies to an esrog or to a tapuach, to some fruit that grows from the tree, but not to a hadas, because you can smell the hadas when it's mechubar lekarka, when it's mechubar le'etz. The usage that you have out of the hadas, you can have even when the thing is still mechubar, so therefore there's no concern that you're going to cut it off. But the problem is the esrog or the apple is another usage that you can't have when it's mechubar lekarka, and that is the usage of eating. So even though you really only have intention now to smell the fruit, but the concern is that you might actually cut it off to be able to eat it. So that's why a fruit that has a nice smell, Chazal goes so that you can't smell it even when it's mechubal karka. Excuse me, you can't smell it when it's mechubal karka. It's talish min karka, then it's mutter. Right? You can't smell it when it's mechubal karka, mechubal eitz. Because we're concerned that maybe you'll cut it off in order to be able to use it for its other purpose, and that is to eat. But something that has no other purpose except a smell, and you can smell it just as easily on the tree, so then we're not afraid that you're going to cut it off, so you're allowed to smell it on the tree. I mean, clearly, if you can't get to it without climbing the tree, that's going to be a problem, but we're not afraid that you'll climb the tree. They didn't make a gzeira to climbing a tree. If you can smell it at the level that you're at, the question is, are we afraid that you're going to cut it off in order to be able to use it for a different purpose? So that's only true by a fruit that you can eat it. But a hadas and other mine besarim that you can only smell, you can't actually eat, there's no concern that you're going to cut it off the tree in order to be able to eat it. Okay? Okay, this is the malacha of kotzer and some of the gzeres drabana that Chazal added to this malacha. Let's move on to dash. So the basic malacha of dash, as we've defined in the Gemara Shiurim, is breaking the connection between Soles and Ochel. Dosh in the Mishkan was threshing the Tvua, taking the kernels of wheat, the kernels of Tvua that were in the husk, and beating on them in order to separate the Psoles from the Ochel. That's the basic Malach of Dosh. as I mentioned to some of you, in Seder, the real distinction between Dosh and Bor, if you think about it for a moment, Dosh and Bor really, they're both, they seem to be similar malachas. You're separating Ochel from Solas in both cases, Solas from Ochel. So what exactly is the difference? So the difference probably is this. Let's say you put the kernels of Tavua with the husk inside a box, right? And you shake up the items in the box. You shake up the kernels in the box. So which malach have you violated then? You violated Dosh because you've broken the organic connection between the Psolus and the Ochel. But you haven't violated Borah because they're still Mu'urav and Zebazeh. They're still mixed together. Then when you open up the box and you separate the Psolus from the Ochel, then you violated the Malach of Borah. Okay, so they're different Malachos. Dosh is really breaking the connection. But Borah is doing more than that. It means if there still is a mixture, even after breaking the connection, you're sorting or separating the Psolus from the Ochel in order to produce Borah. Now, sometimes you might have them bevas achas. You might do them together. You might accomplish both together. If you break off the psoas from the ochel, and as you're doing that, you separate it, you might be violating borah too, because it's the same ice and malacha, but there are two accomplishments there. But the basic malacha of dosh is really just separating, breaking the connection between the psoas and the ochel, and then borah is selecting or sorting, maybe some would say separating the psoas from the ochel. Okay, we mentioned there's a machlokas, Tanoim, the Yehuda and the Rabbanon, where the Yesh Disha Shalom B'Gidulei Karka, can you have Dosh even for non-Gidulei Karka, like for fish? Would you say that Kotzei Achilazon, squeezing out the blood of a Achilazon, Tzchayiv Minatara Mishum Dosh, or not? Either way you slice it, even according to the Chachamim, that ain't Disha Elo B'Gidulei Karka, but the Rabbanon, it's still going to be awesome. It's still going to be awesome to do Disha even on non-Gidulei Karka, it's still going to be awesome. Just to do a short chazara, I'm sure in the chazara chabura they discuss this at greater length, but one of the questions that we mentioned in the shir is how is it mutter to eat grapes and nuts on Shabbos, if you're breaking a connection between solus and ochel, how is it mutter to eat the grapes and especially the nuts, there the solus covers over the ochel, so there even according to Rashi in certain places that you have to actually be uncovering the ochel in order to violate the malach of dosh. But if you're eating nuts, then you're certainly uncovering the ochel from the psolas. That certainly should be a problem. But even breaking the grapes off the cluster should be a problem, because most Rishonim, Rabbi Hananel and others, the Ramban and the Ran, and the Sugya and Afrayim Gilam and Beis, they seem to say that just breaking the connection between the ochel and the psolas, that should be dosh. It has a mutter to eat grapes on Shabbos. So we mentioned that the Eglei Tal suggests that Dosh la'alter is mutter. Just like Borer la'alter is mutter, Borer samach la'seuda, close to the seuda, not just b'shas achila, but samach la'seuda in preparation for the seuda is mutter, so too Dosh la'alter is mutter. Doing disha, samach la'seuda, not immediately before you're eating. But even samach la'seuda, that's sufficient. But we said that the Tiferes Yisrael, in his Kalkelas HaShabbos, his introduction, he suggests a different answer. He says maybe eating grapes is different because you're separating only one at a time. So some of you asked me after shir, is it dafka one at a time? I don't know if it's one at a time. I think the pshat might be that if you don't put it into your plate, you separate one or two or three, separate them together and you put them right into your mouth, that's also shas achila. So I think according to the Eglei Tal Chora, you could separate a lot of grapes, put them in a bowl so that someone can use them for the meal, that's certainly going to be mutter. According to the Tiferes Yisrael, though, you have to separate only a few. The few that you're eating at this moment in time, b'shas achila, one would be allowed to separate. It would seem as though what the Tiferes Yisrael is saying is that dosh la'alter is not mutter. It's not like borah. We'll have to discuss at greater length why that's true. We'll get back to that. But the Kalkelas HaShabbos, Tiferes Yisrael seems to assume that dosh la'alter is not going to be mutter. So it's only b'shas achila that it's going to be mutter. That's why you have to break off one or two, just a couple of grapes, right before putting them into your mouth. B'shas achila, that's going to be mutter. But to prepare for the seuda, to prepare a whole bowl of cut grapes, maybe according to the first Yisrael, might not be awesome. Yes?
If someone were to take off a grape and put it on their plate before Kiddush, and then after Kiddush, they would eat grapes.
That would be a problem. Right, that would be a problem, exactly, because you're not cutting off the grape right before eating. As opposed to someone who cuts off two grapes, let's say he has a big mouth, so having a big mouth sometimes is not such a good thing. But having a big mouth in this context, if you feel like you need more than one grape to put into your mouth at the same time, well, you know, not at the same time, but you're going to put a couple of grapes into your mouth without putting it in the plate, I think that should be mutter. Because that is b'shas achila. That's b'shas achila, yes.
Is there a
if someone's like preparing grape and snack for, I guess, a toddler, and little kids don't necessarily eat everything right away and kind of, you know, play with their food, so you put all the grapes in the bowl and then, you know, they run off.
I think separating the grapes from the cluster might be a problem. If you hold dashla out, there is mutter, so then even samach lasuda for the young child is mutter. But if you're separating, let's say, one by one, so you separate one from the cluster, and you're feeding the child, so the stomach, you have to put it down to cut it, you're not going to put the whole grape in the child's mouth. It's dangerous, right? So you take the grape and you're cutting it, but that's b'shas achila, that's the way you're actually feeding the child. So even if the child doesn't eat the whole grape, but if they eat part of it, so that's already shas achila, this grape. You cut it off to use part of it, so I think that's mutter. But to cut off five grapes to use for the child, and, you know, it's going to take quite a time before the child actually eats it, I think that might be a problem. Adam?
Someone asked if it were to separate the eshkol into, like, different smaller eshkols. Because not everyone, because you have, like, a big tray of, you know, one big thing, and then everyone
could pick it. So could you cut the cluster down into pieces?
Yeah.
Then cutting the cluster down should be mutter. It's not mechub l'karak. It's not kotzer. It's not dush, because you're not separating any psolus from the ochel. So you can cut the cluster into smaller pieces. It's the pulling off of the grape from the cluster. That's the problem. Okay, but cutting down the cluster into smaller pieces, I think, should be mutter. Okay, one of the most popular issues relating to the melach of dush is the question of squeezing fruits. Schitas peris. Big discussion in Puskin, in the Shulchan Aruch and Simen Shimchof. The Mishnah Daf Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis writes, "Ein sochetin esaperos lahotzi mehen mashkin." One is prohibited from squeezing fruits on Shabbos in order to take out their juices. What's the problem of schita? So Rashi explains that schita is mefarek. That's what we call mefarek. You're unloading the liquid, right? The liquid from the fruit. Tolda d'dosh, says Rashi. Tolda d'dosh. Now, we discussed at great length the Rashi and Cholev. Rashi holds even milking is a tolda of dosh. But here, you know, I could hear it even more. Right? Tolda of dosh, skidule karka, right? Shouldn't be a problem. Rabbi Natan wouldn't have any trouble with this. The tolda of dosh. Why is it a tolda of dosh? Didn't we say the dosh is breaking the organic connection between psolus and ochel? Where's the psolus over here? The fruit is ochel. The liquid, the juice that comes out is ochel. So what should be the problem? The answer is, the juice is not ochel. The juice is mashkin. And dosh is defined as separating two different items from each other. Not only psolus and ochel, but even mashke mitocha ochel. That's like psolus and ochel too. That's the chiddush of this mission. But that can be a told of dosh because you're separating mashke from ochel. The Gemara there, from Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis to Kuf Mem Hei Amud Aleph, a long piece of Gemara. The Gemara actually distinguishes, when it comes to Schitas Peros, that there are three different levels. There are some that are asum in Torah, and some that are asum in the Rabbanan, and some that it's mutter and gansen, mutter completely to be sochek, to squeeze. What are the different levels? So the Gemara says, min Torah, one is not allowed to be sochek, zesim va'anovim, olives and grapes. Those are the only fruits that the Gemara lists for which there's going to be a schita derais. Zesim va'anovim. And the Gemara says there's the next level. That's called tusim v'rimonim. That's strawberries and pomegranates. Min haTorah, it's mutter to be sochet these fruits. Min haRabbanan, it's still going to be us. And then there's a third level, and that is shar peiros. It's mutter completely. There's no issur d'oraisa, there's no issur d'Rabbanan. It's mutter to be sochet all other peiros, besides Zeisim v'Anovim and tusim and Rimon. Now, what's the chiluk? Well, why should I distinguish in this way? What's the difference between Zeisim v'Anovim and all other peiros? So there's a machlokes rishonim about this. Rashi writes there in a few places in the Gemara. Rashi writes that the reason why there's no issur d'oraisa to be sochet other peiros besides Zeisim v'Anovim is because it's not normal to be sochet them. It's not normal to squeeze them out. Squeezing Zeisim v'Anovim, that's quite normal. To make shemen, to make oil, and to make grape juice, to make wine. It's very normal to squeeze Zeisim v'Anovim. But other fruits, to squeeze them out, tusim v'rimonim, to squeeze strawberries and pomegranates, to squeeze oranges, it's not so common. Right? To squeeze other at the time of the Gemara wasn't so common. Right? It's not so common to squeeze these other fruits. Minap Torah, therefore, can't be also to squeeze them out. Only Zeisim Anovim, where it's Darko Bekach, it's Urchayo L'Schita, they're Omeid L'Schita, it's normal to be Soche, so then the liquid that comes out has a din of a mashke, it has a chashivus of a mashke, and then when you squeeze them, Minap Torah, we treat that as separating a mashke from an ochel. All other fruits, since it's not normal to be Soche, the liquid that comes out, it simply has a status of what we call Zeya Ba'alma. Look at mine, Brachas uses that phrase in the context of Brachas. Zeya Ba'alma, it's like the sweat of the fruit. That's not a mashke. It's really the fruit. It's really ochel. So you're not separating mashke from ochel. You're separating ochel from ochel. So that's not an issa daraisa. That's not a problem. It's only Zeya Ba'alma. The Ran gives a different shot. The Ran says, you know what the difference between Zeya Ba'alma and the other Peres are? The difference is that the liquid that comes out of Shar Peres can't be called a mashke because it's not one of the Zayin mashkim. There are only Zayin mashkim. There are only seven mashkim, seven liquids that Minat Torah have a din of a mashke. What are those seven liquids? Good. Yad Shachat Dam. What does that mean? Yayin Dam. Shemen. Chalav, pal, right? What's dam? Dvash, honey, and mayim, of course, water. It's the killer. Let's see. Right? These are the Zayin Mashkim. So the Ran says, you know what the difference between Zeisim v'anavim and the other peras are? Well, Yayin is one of the Zayin Mashkim, and Shemen is one of the Zayin Mashkim. That's the pshat. So these... The liquid that comes out of Zeisim Vanovim is a mashka al pidin daraisa. Minat Torah, it's treated as a mashka because it's one of the Zayin Mashkim. It's one of the Zayin Mashkim for Hechshe Zroim, Hechshe Lekabel Tumah. That if something is cut off, if something growing, if a Zera is cut off the ground, and then one of these Mashkim fall on the Zera, and it's Bechiyutan, the Bailim want the liquid to fall on. If he doesn't want the liquid to fall on, so then it's not going to be Mokshel Kabel Tumah. But if it's Nichale to the Bailim and these liquids fall on the Zera, then it's Mokshel Kabel Tumah. So Zokteran, that idea that these Zayin Mashkin can be Mokshel Kabel Tumah, it's not just a din in Hechshel Kabel Tumah. It's not just a din in Tyrus. It's a din in Moyed. How's it a din in Moyed? The answer is these Zayin Mashkin have a din Mashkal Pi Din Daraisa. So then for the rule of Schita on Shabbos, they would also be called a mashke, but all the other fruits, whatever comes out, the liquids that come out, it's just a Zeya Ba'alma, it doesn't have a status of a mashke. So that's why, Minat Torah, it's mutter to be sochet. Why Midrabanan is this still an issa? Why is there this middle category of Tusim V'rimona where Midrabanan is still also to be sochet? So the answer is, since it's more Darkayu B'kach, it's more Derech B'kach, to squeeze these fruits. Apparently at the time of the Gemara they would squeeze strawberries and pomegranates. We don't do this so commonly. We do squeeze pomegranates for juices. Okay, we do that a little bit. But since it's more darko bekach to squeeze these fruits, so the chacham goes there. It's not that Minat Torah these juices have a status of a mashke. They don't have a status of a mashke. The chacham goes there on them because it's a little bit normal to squeeze them. So according to Rashi, it's all a function of what is normal. Since Zeisim Anovim is very normal to be sochet in order to get the juices, Minat Torah it's going to be also to be sochet. Since the middle category, it's a little bit normal, Midrabanan it's going to be also to be sochet. And the lowest category, Shar Peros, it's not normal at all. No one ever does that in any place in the world. It's really an abnormal thing to squeeze that fruit. It's an abnormal thing, so then if you were to squeeze it on Shabbos, it would taka be mutter completely. According to the Ran, it's not like Darko Bekach doesn't play a role. Minat Torah doesn't play a role. Minat Torah, it's all a function of what is called a Zayin Mashkin. Midrabanan, though, Chazal said, will be gozer on the middle category for any fruit that it's normal to be sochet a little bit. If it's normal to be sochet a little bit, even though Minat Torah doesn't have a status of a Mashkin, Midrabanan will still say that the Schid is going to be awesome. Okay. Yeah, you had some.
Yeah, then according to the Ran, Zeisim and Anovim is not Dafka. Like, Tvash, you have Tamarim would be.
Right. And according to the Ran, that the Prima Gobin, in the very beginning of Simon Shinchov, says that according to the Ran, all mashkim that are included within the din of Hechshe Zroim would be Bechlal Schita Daraisa. Right? So if you'd have, I don't know, what's the case? What, Dvash, to squeeze Dvash out of what? Out of Tamarim. squeeze a little dvash out of your date. So that would be a problem, even if it's not darko bekach, right? Even if it would not be darko bekach, l'chora that would be a problem according to the Ran. Right? What's another nafkamina between the Ran and Rashi? Oranges bizman hazeh. Is there an issa d'arais of schita for oranges bizman hazeh? The juice, that the orange juice that comes out of the orange, is obviously not one of the Zayin Mashkim. You can't say that that's Mayim. It's not Mayim. It has, I mean, everything has water in it. To, you know, every dover yovish that's not hot as a rock has water in it. We don't treat it as water. We treat it as oranges. If you added water to it, that would be a different story. But the pure orange juice is orange juice. It's not one of the Zayin Mashkim. So according to the Ran, it would not be an issa d'arais to squeeze oranges and Shabbos. Going to Rashi, if bizman hazeh we say that it's urchayu b'hochi, which is a question. It could be some oranges, it really is darko b'kach to squeeze. Other oranges might not be darko b'kach. It could be it's dependent on the grove. I don't know, do we follow rove of the oranges in the world? I'm not sure. I didn't do research on this to find that if rove of the oranges in the world actually are used to make orange juice, or, you know, some are and some aren't. Some are kept to be eaten, and some are used for the juice inside. I'm not really sure. But that could be a nafkamina between Rashi and the Ran. The fact is, the poskim assume that the only way that the Natar is going to be osur to squeeze the fruit is if it's both one of the Zayin Mashkim, if the juice that comes out is both one of the Zayin Mashkim, and it's darko bekach to squeeze for the Mashkim. That's what the poskim say. So if you're missing one of those elements, it's not going to be a schita d'oraisa anyway, so even oranges v'zman hazeh, the Natar should be mutter to squeeze on Shabbos. Midrabanan, it'll still be osur, but it's not going to be an issa d'oraisa, and we'll talk about the nafkamina in a moment. Yes.
How do we determine
the change over time, of course. So it's not just dependent on Jews, it's dependent on the whole world. What does the world do with fruits?
So who determines that this is the way darko is, and we're going
to keep it? They have to do research. We bring the research to the poskim, and then they decide, based on the research that you presented, what the reality is. So this question became quite relevant. It's relevant in the realm of brachas also. There's a whole discussion. What do you make ha'etzah on? Right, what kind of juices? You make a hagofen on wines. That's a totally different variant, right? It's a totally different thing. It has a separate chashiva. So the question is, fruit juices, what bracha do you make on it? So we make a shakal on fruit juices. So based on the lashon of the Gemara, some of the person wanted to say that if it's normal to squeeze the juice out of the fruit, maybe you should make ha'etzah on the juice too, because the juice is really the ikar fruit. So this discussion played a role in that context as well. Is it darko bekach to squeeze most oranges? Is it not darko bekach? So that issue is very, very important in determining different halachas. But here, again, I think most poskim assume that we're going to be makel. It's not a schita d'arais unless it's both. So since, aside from zeisim v'anovim, you're not going to really find too many fruits that we have growing on the trees. I mean, I guess tomorrow, but most people don't squeeze the dvash out of tomorrow. Most of our dvash is dvash dvorim. It's from the bees, it's not from the dates. You're not going to find too many fruits that the juice that comes out of it is going to be one of the Zayin Mashkim. Okay. What's enough gemina whether the issa schita is the raisa or is it only midrabon? So there are two very important issues that the post can discuss. One is mitzitza. No, not that kind of mitzitza. We're not talking about mitzitza bepeh. Mitzitza. Bepeh, right. But not that kind of mitzitza bepeh. Sucking from the fruit. The Ramah in Simen Shinchav Sif Aleph quotes Machlokes Rishonim whether one is allowed to suck a fruit on Shabbos. Should it be viewed as schita? It's a told of dosh. But do we say mitzitza is not derech schita? Now, just parenthetically, it's interesting from this whole discussion that Rishonim have. It sounds like la'alter is not a heter by dosh. Right, that's more than just la'alter. It's more than just some of us do this. B'shas achila mamish. So it's quite interesting that this whole, right, if you were to assume that samach l'su'udah is mutter by dash, so what could be the problem at all? It's more than samach l'su'udah. Very interesting. Love it. Right, it's interesting. So that's what they say. The question is whether mitzitza is mutter or should it be viewed as schita. Shas achila mamish. So these Rishonim who say that it's prohibited, they apparently hold not only is it derech schita, but even b'shas achila it's a problem to do dash. Even b'shas achila mamish. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that even in the context of borer. There are some who want to say that b'shas achila mamish it's taka osa. It's osa to do brer. let's say you're eating a watermelon. Can you take the pits off right before you're about to put it into your mouth? You might say, but this is not right before you're putting it into your mouth. It's in your mouth. It's in the mouth, mamish. Yeah, it's interesting. Very interesting. But that's the discussion, Machlokes Rishonim. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Achronim that by Zeisim V'Anovim one should be Machmir. Since Schita is Minat Torah by Zeisim V'Anovim, maybe you should be Machmir not to be Motzeitz, not to squeeze the juice from the grape. I guess some people would have a taiva to do that. Take a nice juicy, one of those big juicy grapes, squeeze out the juice from the grape. Maybe you shouldn't do that on Shabbos. Mishnah Berurah says that according to the Achronim, right, that you shouldn't do that on Shabbos because it's a chashash of a Schita Daraisa. This is a machlokes Rishonim, whether it's derech schita b'kach through matzitza. So for zeisav anavim, you should be machmir. But it sounds like for the other peros, even for tusim v'rimonim, even for that middle category, perhaps you can be mekel. It's only an issur d'rabbanan to begin. Maximum, it could only be an issur d'rabbanan to begin with to squeeze out those fruits. So squeezing it out through matzitza, through sucking, it could be it's not even derech schita anyway. So we could be more mekel. Be more mekel in that shani. But it's really interesting that these Rishonim, this whole discussion starts because they must be assuming that even b'shas achila, there is some problem with disha. Very interesting. This is one nafkamina that the Pasuk discuss. The other issue that's discussed is the question of mashkim shezavu. Mashkim shezavu. Mashkim shezavu. Let's say you have liquids that ooze out of the fruit. You didn't even squeeze them out, let's say. Liquids that ooze out of the fruit. So the Shulchan Aruch, there in Simen Shinchov, Sif Aleph, writes that Chazal will go there even on Mashkim Shezavu. They will go there on Mashkim Shezavu from Zeisim V'Anavim. If the juice from the grape or from the olive, the oil comes out of the olive, the juice coming out of the Zeisim V'Anavim, Chazal will go there on it. That's the Gzer of Mashkim Shezavu. Even if you brought the Zeisim V'Anavim home, not Litzorech Schita, you brought them home with Litzorech Achila, you planned on eating them, you didn't want to squeeze them at all, Chazal would still go there on them. But Shar Peres, they would not go there unless you brought them home in order to be Sochet. If you brought them home for the purpose of Schita, then Chazal will go there, even on Mashkim Shezavu, even by other fruits, because again, we're afraid that you might come to be Sochet there. But Zeisim V'Anavim, it doesn't matter what you brought them home for. Even if you brought them not for the schita, you brought them with Tzorech Achila, Mashkim Shezavu from Zeisim V'Anavim is going to be awesome. And again, what's the chilah? The answer is, because schita from Zeisim V'Anavim is a schita daraisa. Because it's an issa daraisa, Chazal goes there, Mashkim Shezavu, because we're afraid that you might come to be sochet. But in the other case, since the schita is only midrabanan, so Chazal were less concerned. If you brought it home for schita, so then they're still concerned. If you brought it home with Tzorech Achila, even if you would be sochet, it would only be an issur d'rabbanan to begin with, so Chazal are not gozer on the other fruits. Okay. So this led some of the poskim to discuss the case. Let's say you have a cut-up grapefruit or cut-up orange. Is it mutter to eat a cut-up grapefruit on Shabbos? Mashkim Shezavu? There's going to be some kind of a schita there. Mashkim Shezavu, is it mutter or is it asr? So Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, in Perek Hei Ha'ora Membeis, he writes it's mutter. Mutter to eat the cut-up grapefruit. There's no chumrah to eat just, the pieces of grapefruit, to open, to peel the grapefruit and eat only the pieces. No, you can cut it open. Cut open the grapefruit, cut it in half, and serve it. It's a nice entree to a meal. You can serve it, and people can dig out the pieces of the grapefruit, even though, perforce, they're going to be squeezing the pieces. They're going to be squeezing a little bit. There is mashkin shezavu over there. So he says it's mutter. Why is it mutter? Because even if the person were to be sochet the grapefruit biyadayim, it would still only be an issur d'rabbanan, because most grapefruits probably are not omed l'schita. That's what he assumes. Not like oranges even. It's probably less than oranges. There is grapefruit juice, but it's probably less than orange juice. So ruban are not omdin l'schita, so it would only be an issur d'rabbanan to be sochet biyadayim. So we're only talking about an issur d'rabbanan to begin with. What's more, schita b'derech achila, that's kelach hayad, he says. It's not the normal way to be so. The normal way to be so is to take the fruit and to squeeze it. Not to take a spoon and to squeeze the fruit. So he says, if maximum it's only an issur d'rabbanan to begin with, and it's kelach hayad, it's like a trade d'rabbanan. So he thinks even squeezing the kavana to squeeze wouldn't be asa b'chalal. He says it should be mutter to drink the mashke too. If there's no issa to do the schita, so then it should be mutter to drink the mashkim shezavu from the grapefruit as well. People do that, you know, after you finish pulling out the pieces, sometimes you'll either put the grapefruit to your face, or maybe there are some other people who would just, you know, eat it like soup, right? You put the spoon in a little bit more to suck some of the juice. It's nice, you know, it's an extra hanoi after you get finished with the grapefruit, you know, before you clean your shirt from the mess that you made, you know, you'd like to take a little bit of the juice from the grapefruit. That's mutter too. Mashkim shezavu is mutter. Because if the schita would be mutter, then the mashkim shezavu should be mutter as well. That's what the Shemir Shabbos says. Oranges are a bit more complicated because oranges, again, as manazet zdaka b'kach b'soche, they're omdim l'schita. But again, if the poskim are mekel, that they rely on the Ran, that there's no schita d'arais even by oranges, since the juice that comes out of the orange is not one of the zayin mashkim, so perhaps there might be room to be mekel, at least for the mashkim shezovel. I'm not sure, you know, if you want to... You want to squeeze it out. I'm not sure it's a good thing to try to squeeze out the juice from the orange. That far I wouldn't go. But to drink the mashkim shezavu, if you cut the orange in half and you eat it, so you're just eating it. The derech achila, you're eating it. It happens to some schita occurs, but that's not your purpose. That's not your goal. I think to drink the mashkim shezavu after that, there's room to be mekel for the ran, that it would not be a schita deraisa, and it's kalachiyat anyway, so then maybe you could drink for the mashkim shezavu as well. Questions? Okay, one of the interesting shilas that the poskim talk about in terms of schitas peros is squeezing a lemon. Squeezing a lemon into tea, squeezing a lemon onto fish. When is it mutter, when is it asur? So, at first glance, based on the principles that we developed, even if min haTorah squeezing a lemon is permissible, because it's not zeis v'anovim, l'chora midrabanan, it should be asur. Because it is darko b'kach, at least a little bit, in some places, darko b'kach to squeeze lemons. Even if you'll tell me that it's not so darko b'kach, people don't always squeeze lemons, sometimes they'll just place the lemon into something, they won't actually squeeze, they won't make lemon juice out of the lemons, they'll cut the lemon and put the pieces of lemon into something that they're cooking. They won't actually squeeze the lemon juice out. But in many places, they do squeeze the lemon. Certainly nowadays, it's pretty common to squeeze the lemon. So even if you don't say that it has the status of Zeis v'Anovim, midrabanan, it still should be usa to squeeze. So, can you squeeze the lemon into tea? L'chor, it sounds like it should be usa to squeeze the lemon into tea. How could it be mutter to squeeze the lemon into tea? So there's a famous comment that the Beis Yosef in Simen Shin Chof has, and he published this in the Shulchan Aruch too. Simen Shin Chof, Sivok. Beis Yosef says that he thinks perhaps you can be matir, squeezing a lemon into mashke, into tea. Meaning that a lemon, the Beis Yosef wants to suggest a lemon has a din of shar peros. It's the lowest level pre. That it's mutter, min haTorah, min haRabbanan, it's mutter completely to be soche. And that's why you're allowed to squeeze it into tea. But how could that be? The lemon, it is a little bit darko b'kach, to squeeze the lemons out. So how can you say that it's mutter and gazdan has the status of shapiros? So the Beis Yosef says, he thinks there are two reasons why it's mutter. He says, first of all, it's not normal to squeeze a lemon into an empty container. The normal way in the town, in the area of the Beis Yosef, Mitzrayim, I think he's talking about Mitzrayim, the normal way in Egypt was to squeeze the lemon directly into a liquid, into sugar water. That's what they did. They squeezed the lemon directly into the sugar water. They didn't squeeze it directly into an empty container, he says. He says, what's more, forgetting for a moment how they squeezed the lemon, whether they squeezed it into an empty container or directly into the sugar water, but no one drinks lemon juice separately. They only drink it as part of a taroves, part of a mixture with other liquids. Those are the two reasons that the Beis Yosef gives. So the Aruch HaShulchan explains, well, what's the Beis Yosef saying? Like, these are two reasons. What's his point? He suggests the yisod of the Beis Yosef is that lemon juice is not called a mashke. Lemon juice is called a flavoring. It's not called a mashke. It's a bosem. It's a tam. It's a flavoring. It's a spice. Why is it a flavoring? Why shouldn't I call it a mashke? It's a liquid. It comes out of a fruit. Why should I call it a flavoring? That's what the Beis Yosef is saying, that it's different from other mashkev for one of two reasons. Actually, for both reasons. First of all, it's not normal, he claims. It's not normal to squeeze it into a separate kli. Squeeze it into a separate kli, so then it has a chashivas of a mashkev. But if it's never squeezed into a separate kli, that means it's only a flavor in something else. That's point number one. Point number two, even if you were to squeeze it into a separate kli, the fact is it's never drunk separately. Since you don't drink it separately, it doesn't have a chashivas of a mashkev either. So because it doesn't have a chashivas of a mashkev, it's only viewed as a flavor, it's not dino kemashkev. If it's not dino kemashkev, the yisur shechita doesn't apply. Because it's like squeezing ochel from ochel. Because the liquid that comes out of a lemon, according to the Beis Yosef, doesn't have a din of a mashkev. Yes.
What about nowadays?
Oh, we're going to get there. No, good. Excellent. David? Okay. So the Mishnah Berurah says, Vizman hazeh, that we very commonly squeeze lemon juice into an empty container. We don't just squeeze it into another liquid. We prepare it. Right? The way that it's prepared in the factory, it's being squeezed into a separate container. So at least according to the first time that the Beis Yosef gives, the lemon juice should be considered a mashke. Okay, albeit according to the second time, it still is only a flavor, it's only a bosem, it's only a tam, because you don't drink the lemon juice separately, you always mix it with something else, with water, with something. But according to the first time that the Beis Yosef gives, that if you squeeze it into a separate kli, automatically it has a chashivas of a mashke, because it's standing alone. That's the first time, right? That if you squeeze it into a separate kli, it has a chashivas of a mashke, because it stands alone for a while before you actually use it, so then bizman hazeh, we should treat the lemon juice as being a mashke. So it should be a problem. So it's up to Mishnah Berurah, it is a problem. Bizman hazeh, that we squeeze lemons into an empty kli, Mishnah Berurah says one should not squeeze their lemon directly into the tea on Shabbos. That would be an issur derabbanan of schita on Shabbos. To take the lemon and to squeeze it into the tea, that would be a problem, because that would be squeezing mashke out of an ochel. Don't tell me, like the Beis Yosef, that lemon juice is not called a mashke because we never drink it separately. No, but according to the first time, that once you squeeze it into a separate kli, it has a chashivas of a mashke, and that is how we prepare lemon juice. So that should be a problem. It should be a problem to take your lemon and to squeeze the lemon into the tea. Says the Mishnah Berurah, the only solution you have is that you have to squeeze the lemon onto what? Squeeze the lemon onto your sugar first. Or your Splenda, or whatever, right? Squeeze the lemon onto the sugar first, then put the sugar into the tea. It's a little bit messy, but that's what the Mishnah Berurah suggests. What does squeezing it onto the sugar do? So says the Mishnah Berurah, that's an example of what we call in the Gemara, in the Afkuf and Dalan Abayz, that's Mashke Habala Ochel. Remember? We had that whole discussion. The Choli Vadameiz Latocha Kader, the low Latocha Ka'ara, when it's allowed to be Choli Vasa'ez, you can milk the cow. Shabbos, Yom Tov, it's not clear what the case is. Machlokes Rishonim, we discussed, right? Shulchan Aruch here highlighted some of these points and many more. Right? So the yisod that comes out of the Gemara, Kufan Dalam Vez, is Mashke Habola Ochel Ka Ochel Dami. That yes, it's true that not only separating solos from Ochel is Dosh, but separating Mashke from Ochel is also Dosh, but only if it's Mashke from Ochel. But if the Mashke goes directly into Ochel, then we treat the Mashke as an Ochel. So that's like separating Ochel from Ochel. Dr. Mishnah Berurah, if you put your lemon juice onto the sugar, even if the lemon juice should have a din of a mashke, but that's mashke habola ochel. The lemon juice is going to the sugar before it goes into the tea. So that's not a problem of dash. That wouldn't be a problem of schita b'chlal. Because mashke habola ochel, ka ochel dami. So there shouldn't be any problem. Ad kandvar. That's what the Mishnah Berurah suggests. He says you can't put the lemon juice into the tea directly. You can only put the lemon juice onto the sugar. And then put the sugar into the tea. That's mashke habola ochel ka ochel dami. That wouldn't be a problem of schita. Frek the chazan ish. I don't see how the Mishnah Berurah solved the problem. What's the chazan ish's kasha? Can you think of the kasha? Is this mashke habola ochel? Max.
Your intention is to really put it inside the tea.
Well, since your intention is to put it into the tea later, so that's not bola ochel. This is just an intermediary stage in the process. You're going to put it into the liquid in just a moment. The chazan ish says he doesn't understand what the Mishnah Berurah is saying. Right? He doesn't understand the suggestion of the Mishnah Berurah. That's not Mashke Habala Ochel. Mashke Habala Ochel is if you cholev adam eiz letocha kedera. If you cholev eiz letocha kedera, you're going to eat the kedera, you're going to eat the tavshil with the milk in it. You're not going to take the milk out and put it somewhere else. The purpose of that disha, the purpose of the chaliva, was to put the milk into the tavshil and to eat the tavshil.
Excuse me.
Oh, we get there. Good. So Mashke Habala Ochel. Ochel dummy, that means if you squeeze the mashke onto the ochel, you want to keep it on the ochel. But this is not mashke habala ochel ke ochel dami, because here you might be squeezing the lemon juice onto the sugar, but then you want to put the sugar into the tea. So that should be mashke habala mashke, not mashke habala ochel. So the Chazon Ish says it's not going to solve the problem. So the only way to eat, to drink tea with lemon on Shabbos, according to the Chazon Ish, is to cut your piece of lemon and to put it into the tea. You put it into the tea, so that's mutter. That's mutter. That's mutter. Ah, it's mashkim shezavu? No, but it's not zeisim v'anovim, so mashkim shezavu is not a gzera. Right, so that's the point. You'll be makel for mashkim shezavu in the case of the lemon, because maximum it's only a schita derabbanan to begin with. So it'll be mutter if the mashkim azav from the lemon into the tea, they can produce the flavor of lemon in the tea, and that would be mutter. This is a big machlokas mishnah berurah Chazon Ish, how to drink your tea with lemon. Can you actually squeeze? Can you squeeze the lemon? Definitely not. Squeezing the lemon into the tea should be a problem. According to the mishnah berurah, you should squeeze the lemon onto the sugar. According to the Chazon Ish, it's not going to solve the problem. You have to actually cut the piece of lemon and put it into the tea and allow the lemon to ooze into the tea. You can even sort of mix it around. You're not squeezing anything then. The oozing is happening by itself. But you would not be able to squeeze the lemon onto the sugar water, because that's not mashke habola ochel. That would be mashke habola mashke, because your ultimate intention is to put it back into the mashke. But as Noah points out, even according to the Chazon Ish, there could be one situation where you'd be allowed to squeeze the lemon, and that is, let's say, squeezing the lemon onto fish. That's mashke habola ochel. That's not mashke habola mashke, because it's coming onto the food, and you're going to eat it on the food. So even the Chazon Ish would say that's mutter. Everyone would say that's mutter. Mashke habola ochel ke ochel dami, you're squeezing the lemon onto the fish, l'chol adeya should be mutter. L'chol adeya should be mutter. Yeah. Question?
The Mishnah Berurah implicitly rejecting basically the second reason, that you don't
eat it. Not necessarily. I think the Mishnah Berurah is saying that you have to be machmer for both. So he's saying if we're going to be machmer for the first reason, then we'll have a problem. Right, if he'd say that either reason is enough to be makel, so then it would seem like the Mishnah Berurah is passing over the first time. But I think the Mishnah Berurah is just saying that you have to be machmer for both, because we don't know what's the ikar reason, right? What's the ikar reason why lemon juice is not considered, doesn't have the status of a mashke, right? So if you want to be machmer for the first time, so then you're not going to be able to squeeze the lemon into the tea. Okay, finally, the case of kvashim. We talked about this a little bit. It came up in the Tosis and Daf Ayin Gimel on the base. Tosis and Ayin Gimel on the base makes reference to the Gemara Daf Kuf Mem Hei. Gemara says if you have kvashim, pickled items, right? You have vegetables that are pickled that have some kind of liquid inside of them. Shesachtan legufan murter ve'im lemei mehen potter avol asin. If you squeeze the pickle, because you don't want such a juicy pickle, right? You want to eat the pickle, you don't want the juice inside. So that's mutter. But if you squeeze it for the pickle juice, then midrabanan, that's awesome. Potter avol asin. I don't think this is so common that you're going to squeeze out your pickle because you don't want as juicy a pickle. But it's very common in many other contexts. Aside from the squeeze, maybe there are people who squeeze out some extra juice in the pickle because they don't want such a juicy pickle. But this is very common when a person has like an oily potato latke or an oily piece of potato kugel. Is it mutter to squeeze out the oil from the piece of potato kugel? Poskim talk about that situation. Sometimes a person will put a napkin on top of their potato kugel. You sometimes see this. Right? You'll see it. A person eating pizza. I've seen people, they put a napkin on top of the pizza to take away the oil. No, if you don't want the oil with pizza, you should eat a different food. But it's not going to happen on Shabbos because you only see the oil in the pizza when it's warm, and it's definitely not going to have warm pizza on Shabbos. But there are other things that can have quite a bit of oil. It's not Chodesh Kislev yet, but I think we all agree that potato latkes definitely can have a lot of oil in them. Not the latkes that we serve in Muncie at the Chanukah get together, but we'll talk about that another time. Okay, so is it mutter to squeeze out the oil from a food on Shabbos? That's a case of kvashim, so to speak, right? The food that's sachtan lagufan. Sachtan lagufan, you don't want the oil. You're getting rid of the oil. So is it mutter to do that? So the answer is it's lachor, it should be mutter. It should be mutter. If kvashim shesachtan lagufan is mutter, so then it should be mutter to squeeze out the oil from the potato lacquer also. So why should that be true? What's the reason why kvashim shesachtan lagufan is mutter? So there are several reasons that the Rishon gave. I think we addressed some of them. We mentioned some of them in the Shir. But let's just review a few of the reasons. I'll give you some others. We mentioned, we spent a great amount of time, great length of time talking about the Ran sheet. The Ran holds that Schita is only a told of dosh to begin with. And if you're soft on the gufa, that means you don't really want the liquid. That's what we call a malacha shein tzicha lagufa. The Ran holds, the way the Achronim explained the Ran, that it's a tolda shein tzricha lagufa. So the Ran holds a tolda shein tzricha lagufa is mutter, and as Rabbi Schechter explains, a tolda is similar to the av and the tachlis, but not in the maisa malacha. Malacha shein tzricha lagufa is similar in the maisa, but not in the tachlis. If it's a tolda shein tzricha lagufa, you're missing everything. You're missing the maisa. There's no similarity to the av, not in the maisa, not in the tachlis. That's why it's going to be mutter. That's how the Ran learns. A very beautiful lamdasha brisket pshat. Others have a little bit of a simpler pshat. Rabbi Ribiak seems to explain that he thinks this is the pshat in Tosis. Tosis on Kufman Hey. That really this is like a trade rabbanim. What's the trade rabbanim? Well, first of all, the kvashim, schita of the kvashim. Let's say you want to get the liquid out of the kvashim. Is that a schita daraisa? Is that like zeisim vanovim? So he says, mistama, it's not like zeisim vanovim. Even if we're talking about squeezing oil. Right, you say, well, it's like shemen. It's a din of a mashke. It should be like zeis manav. Maybe minatorah should be awesome. No, that's not the natural mashke of the kvashim. Right, we're talking about a case where the shemen came in, or the water came in. And right, here, water is going to play a very important role, because that's when you pickle in water. Water is one of the zayin mashkim. So even though water is one of the zayin mashkim, we're not going to say minatorah the schita should be awesome. Right, well, let's say you pickle with wine or you pickle with oil. I mean, Torah, it's not going to be usher to do the schita. Because that shemen or that yayin or that water is not natural to the kvashim. So it's not natural to the kvashim, even if we'll say that it has a shem mashke on it, but it's not going to be a schita darais. If it's not the natural mashke. The Rabbanan, though, it should be osis. It's a schita Rabbanan. That's one Rabbanan. But the other Rabbanan is that you don't want the mashke. It's a malacha shein tzricha lagufa. So you don't have to come on to told the shein tzricha lagufa according to Taisis. Taisis says that the only time that schita could be osir is if the schita would be a schita daraisa. So then, even though it's shein tzricha lagufa, even though you don't want the liquid that you're squeezing out, the Rabbanan, it'll still be osir. But if the schita to begin with is only in this midrabbanan, and why is it only midrabbanan? Even if you're talking about something that should have a status of a mashke in a Torah, but it's not in its natural place, it's not the mashke tivi, it's not the natural mashke of the item, so then you can't say that that's a schita daraisa. Behold, the schita to begin with is only midrabbanan, and it's melacha shein tzricha lagufa, that's a trade rabbanan. He holds a trade rabbanan is going to be mutter. That's Tosis on Kuf Mem Hey. There are two other approaches that the Rishonim have, actually. Taisus and Ksubis, it's a long, big Taisus there, Ksubis and Avav, the Sukhraya, the Nezaisen. In the middle of that Taisus, Taisus explains the case of Kvashim, and he seems to explain it in a third way. Taisus says that the reason why Kvashim Shesach and Lagufan is Mutter is because when you make these Kvashim, when you pickle them, you're not putting liquid into the Kvashim with the intent to drink that liquid. You're not going to use that liquid. It becomes part of the pickle. It becomes part of the vegetable. Your intent is that pickle juice should become part of the vegetable. So Taisus assumes that liquid doesn't have a din of a mashke bechlal. Forget about whether it should be one of the zayin mashke. It's water, it's oil, it's wine. No, it doesn't have a din of a mashke bechlal. It's bottled to the ochel. It's bottled to the ochel. You have no intent to drink it as a mashke bechlal. You want it to be part of the ochel. So if you squeeze that liquid out of the kvashim, says Taisus and Ksubis, it has a din of uchla de ifras. Remember, right? Cutting a piece of bread, uchla de ifras. That's not mashke mitocha ochel. That's ochel from ochel. There's no disha bechlal, says Taisus. It's mutter and ganse. Not because it's a trade rabbanan, but because it's told the shein tzricha lagufa. No, that's not called mashke mitocha ochel. It's ochel mitocha ochel. Because the mashke inside the ochel is completely batel. So because the mashke inside the ochel is batel, so it's perfectly mutter. Perfectly mutter. And of course, we mentioned something I want to learn. Taisus in Shabbos and Daf Ayin Gimel Beis has a fourth and final pshat. That is ain't derech disha b'kach. The normal way to do disha is to use the item that you're squeezing. It's holech le'ibud. If the item is going for waste, ain't derech disha b'kach. It's a shinui gamer and it's mutter legamri. Okay, these are the four approaches. Either told Hashem tzich leguf is mutter, or it's a trade derabanan, or we don't need any of these newfangled approaches. It's mutter legamri because it's not disha b'chlal. It's uchla de'ifras, the liquid that goes into the kvashim, or the oil that goes into the potato latke or the potato kugel. You're not expecting to drink that oil. It's part of the ochel. So it's part of the ochel. It doesn't have a din of a mashke b'chlal. So if you squeeze the oil out, that has a din of separating ochel from ochel. That's not called disha. Well, Tosis and Dafayin Gimel, according to some achronim, hold it. It's ein derech disha b'chlal. It's a shinu gomer, and that's why it's going to be mutter legamri. Whatever the reason is, the poskim say that this is mutter. Let's say that it's mutter to squeeze out the oil, the extra oil from the potato lock or the kugel, because it's not, it's either not called disha, or for some other reason it's going to be mutter. But I saw Rabbi Ribiat points out that one should only do this samuch la'achila. You should do it at the table. I mean, do it in a way that's not, you know, that people won't be upset with what you're doing, but you should do it samuch la'achila. You should not do it, a little bit removed from the suda. Why? What could be the problem? I know you might say that dosh la'alter is mutter, but not la. But again, according to what we're saying, this is not a problem of dosh b'chlas. It's not a problem of dosh b'chlas. It should be mutter even to do long before the suda. So what could be the problem? Why does that have to be some of the suda? The answer is it's not going to be a problem of dosh. It'll be a problem of borer. Because the problem is if you separate the oil, not some of the suda, so aside from being an issue of dosh, it might be a problem of borer because the oil is absolus. You don't want the oil there. So that would be a problem of boris. That's why Rabbi Ribiat suggests that you should do this just samach l'suda right there at the meal. That shouldn't be a problem. But I should point out that the Shmini Shabbos Halachasa quotes from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who says that it depends on the situation. If the oil that you have there, it's only a little bit of oil. Most people would really eat that latke with the oil. You're a mafunek. You want to take away that oil, but most people would have to eat that latke with the oil. So maybe it's not a problem of borer, because maybe the oil is not called psolus. If there's a lot of oil in that kugel, and like no one would want to be eating that piece of kugel, it's very rare that's going to happen. But if there's a lot of oil in the kugel, no one would want to eat the kugel with the oil. They're all going to take out the oil, so then maybe we should treat it as psolus. But if there's not so much oil in the kugel, and a lot of people would be willing to eat the kugel with the oil, Shlomo Zalman wants to say that maybe the oil doesn't have a status of psolus b'chlal. And then there might be a heter, even if it's not samach l'seuda, there might be a heter to separate the oil, because it's not going to be a problem of boras. So, l'chor, it's best to try to be machmer if you can, but if a person feels that he wants to be mekel, there might be room to be mekel, but it's tricky to know exactly the situation where you can be mekel, but certainly samach l'seuda, right before you're about to eat it, we could be mekel not only to be matir dosh, but even to be matir borer as well.